Coming into church this morning, as is my habit on most mornings, in fact, stop at the Circle K on Cardinal Avenue and pick up a Diet Coke. For those of you who don't know it, my Diet Coke is 44 ounces, and I drink more than one a day. So I get a lot of these things. But as I was sitting there getting my drink and waiting to pay for it, the gentleman in front of me in line was having his lottery tickets checked. One after another, after another, after another, after another. And he said something about, that one was no good. And I said, did you expect anything else? Unfortunately, millions and millions of people buy lottery tickets every single day. Some of them, many of them, most of them believe that old canard about somebody's got to win. They're hoping, they're dreaming, they're praying, they're wanting that someone to be them. They want that to happen, and so they're praying for it. Unfortunately, we have seen over the years that what winning a lottery does to you. And as often as not, it doesn't pick you up and give you lots of money and freedom and ease and all the rest of that stuff, it destroys you. Destroys you, destroys your family, destroys your relationship with your friends and your family. It can be a real problem because you have to watch out for what you wish for and what you pray for, because sometimes it's not going to be all that good. There were three men, friends, walking down the beach, having a good time, talking with each other. One of them kicked something in the sand, and they stopped and picked it up and looked at it, and it was one of these genie lamps, and they thought they had it made. And so the three of them grabbed hold of the lamp, and they rubbed their lamp, and out came the genie. Just like it's supposed to. And the genie saw that there's three of them. All three of them had the lamp, so he couldn't say, all right, you get three wishes. He said that the three of you get one wish each. The first one said, well, I tell you what I want to do. I want to be twice as smart as I am right now. And the genie said, done. Zap. And he started quoting Shakespeare. It was good stuff. Second one, seeing that, said, I want to be three times smarter than I am right now. Zap! And he had quadratic equations and physics and all the rest of that. Man, he knew that stuff. It was good. The third one, seeing what was going on here and how it worked, said, I want to be five times smarter than I've ever been. And the genie says, oh, no, no, can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? Of course you can do that. It's my wish. You've got to do it. You're the genie. I'm the wisher. You've got to do it. The genie said, okay. You ask for it, zap, he's a woman. Sorry, guys. At least I didn't wait until next week on that one. Sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. A man by the name of Don Houston, had been in the Congo doing some refugee work. And it was time to leave, and he was leaving from Burundi Airport in an 8-seater airplane, a little tiny thing to get him started down to South Africa, probably, to take a jetliner home. And as they were taxiing out in this little tiny airplane, the pilot calls back and said that there had been some firing on the airport the night before and that they were to be careful. And so Don prayed that he would be able to get back to the Tallahook County Airport in Oregon, where he came from. Well, the next 6,000 miles went without a hitch. Everything was perfect. It worked just like it was supposed to. All the connections, everything worked perfectly. He said, I got exactly what I prayed for. The problem was the next 6 miles from the airport home, the roads were flooded. Sometimes we get exactly what we ask for. In the scripture lesson this morning from the book of Numbers, Moses is in a quandary. He's got a problem. He's upset. He's angry. He's frustrated. The people of Israel are angry, frustrated, and upset as well, because what were they eating? Anybody? Manna. Manna in the morning, manna at lunch, and manna for dinner. But tomorrow, it's going to be better. They're going to have manna. And manna and more manna. Now, it was nice to have manna, but manna and manna and manna. Just saying it after a while gets pretty bad. And so they were upset at the food they were eating. They were upset at the organization. The people had complaints about the legal situations. They're fighting with their neighbor and they wanted to have some kind of judge. And Moses didn't have time to judge between all the people. He needed some help organizing all of these thousands and thousands of people. And so he complains to God. God says, all right, I'll take care of it. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to get 70 elders and I want you to bring them, to name 70 elders and bring them to the tent of the meeting. And he brings these 70 elders to the tent of the meeting and the Holy Spirit falls down upon them and they begin to prophesy. Now, for some reason, two of them, Eldad and Magdad, I guess that's right, Eldad and Magdad, something like that. Who was it? Yeah, you don't remember either. And she was telling me about it at the beginning. But the two of them didn't make it. Maybe they were sick that day. Who knows why they didn't come. But they didn't come, and yet the Holy Spirit fell on them anyway, and they began to prophesy in the camp. Now, the report comes back to Joshua that they're prophesying in the camp, and Joshua is concerned that somebody outside the official group is usurping Moses' authority. Moses says, don't worry about it, Joshua. I wish that every single member of the church, of the people of God, all of the children of Israel, had the Holy Spirit fall down upon them and could prophesy. You hear that? I wish that every single member of First United Methodist Church of Homosassa had the Holy Spirit fall down upon them and they began to prophesy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it would be like if all the pastors, all the members of the church became pastors of the church? The Holy Spirit fell down upon them and they took their responsibilities seriously. Can you imagine the power of the prayer? Not power like a water hose shooting out, knocking you back, that our prayers are going to knock God off his throne or something like that. But power in that it empowers us to do what God has called us to do. Can you imagine the outreach to the community as 800 people go forth and whether they're working or they're playing or they're shopping or whatever they're doing, they're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them as they go? Can you imagine the power? Can you imagine what the church could do? Or better yet, can you try to imagine something the church couldn't do if 800 people were to tithe? Money would no longer be a barrier to getting things done. It would become a rocket to enable us to do anything we wanted to do. Anything in the entire world. Dream big. And you still haven't gotten there. Wouldn't it be amazing all that we could do if 800 members became pastors and received the power of the Holy Spirit and reached out to listen and to do what God has called them to do? Whoa. Well, remember I've been talking about watch out for what you ask for. You see, there was this cartoon. Pastor sitting behind his desk. You can tell he's the pastor because he had a nameplate. It said Reverend so-and-so. And standing in front of him was a small group of people, and the caption on the bottom of the cartoon says, Pastor, you've done such a wonderful job empowering the laity, we don't need you anymore. Okay. Do you know in the United Methodist Church, in the missionaries for the Methodist Church, one of their jobs is to teach local people to do their job, whether it's farming or preaching or teaching or whatever it is. They are to teach local people how to do that job, and then having taught them, put themselves out of a job so that the local people do it, and they come home. There's no sense in me going over to Africa if an African can do the job for himself. So in spite of the fact that I might get myself into trouble here, get myself fired, here's what I'm hoping for. Here's what I'm dreaming. Here's what I'm praying for. that every single member of this church begin to speak in tongues. Every single member of this church start talking and prophesying. I want you to prophesy in such a way that the whole world will think it's Babel. They're wondering what you're talking about. I want you to talk in such a way that the whole world says, that's some kind of foreign language I've never heard before. I want you to speak in language, the language of love. A foreign language to a lot of people. A language that is nothing but babble to a lot of people in our world. There was this little boy, climbed up a tree, fairly tall tree, climbed up as high as he could. His mother was concerned about him, wanted him to come down. He refused to come down. She couldn't go up. She tried everything she could think of, she told the doctor. She had got the rest of the family together, and they sat there and had a picnic underneath the tree so that he could see the food. And he didn't come down. They threatened him. They cajoled him. They did everything. They argued with him. They fought with him. They did everything they could. They demanded that he come down out of that tree. They told him that if he didn't come out of the tree, that they were going to get the firemen, and the firemen would come and call him a baby. They told him that if he stayed up in that tree, that he'd get cold and he'd fall out of the tree when he got cold. They told him that if he stayed up in that tree, the birds would come along and peck his eyes out. They did everything they possibly could think of in order to be able to get that boy out of the tree. At least that's what she told the doctor. Finally, the doctor said to her, well, did you tell him that you loved him and you wanted him down to be with you? Well, she hung up. A couple minutes later, she calls back and said that he came down. That was exactly what he had been waiting for up there in that tree for 5 hours. Somebody to say, I love you. We cannot say, I love you often enough. We cannot speak the words of love often enough. People want to hear that they are loved. They want to know that God loves them and that you love them and they make a difference in the world around them. People want to hear Christ reflected in your voice. They want to hear the love of Christ in everything you are and everything that you do. They want you to hear in the respect that you have for their thoughts, their words, their deeds. Even if you don't agree with them, you can still respect them for who they are. They want to see it. They want to see love in what you do, because that's how we share love. It's not as much in words, that's fine, but it's in what we do. I want you to be able to speak in the language of love each and every day of your life. I also want you to be able to speak in the language of joy. There's this little bird, parakeet, in his cage, her cage, happy bird, joyous, singing all the time, was having a great time. Her owner one day was cleaning up, had the vacuuming and vacuuming under the cage. You know, you can imagine these cages. Unless when we had a bird, the seed would fly everywhere. So she was cleaning up under the cage. She noticed that the cage itself had a lot of seed and feathers and stuff in it. So she decided to clean the cage at the same time. And since she was there with a vacuum, and so she took the nozzle off thing and she had this pipe and she stuck it down in the cage. Parakeets are very small birds. And that parakeet was gone. Well, of course, she was panicked at that point. She stops the machine and she rips it open and gets the bag and rips it open, and there's dust all over the place, and there's the bird, and she does a little CPR and a little mouth-to-beak resuscitation kind of thing, and she gets the bird back going again, and then she takes the bird into the kitchen and she puts him in the sink, and she uses the sprayer to spray the bird off, get all that dust off of the bird. And then she takes her into the bathroom and she gets her hair dryer. Dries that bird off. And she looks at the bird sitting on her finger and everything looks fine. and puts the bird back in the cage. And the bird just sat there and stared, never sang again. How often is that like our own lives? When we start off young and joyous and happy, and then the slings and arrows of life get to us, and we just sit there and stare. We need to speak the language of joy, because joy is uplifting. It empowers us. It makes life worth living. It looks at the future with confidence because we know that God is in that future. We need to speak the language of joy because it accentuates the positive. Instead of looking at faults and problems, it looks at what can be. We need to speak the language of joy because it makes us smile. Smile because we know that God loves us, that we have the assurance of our salvation. And the good news is that He loves you too. We need that joy. We need some laughter. And we need a sense of power and God's presence lifting us up. Can't tell you how many times I've gone to churches and other cities on vacation, and they have been the most joyless, empty, dull, dead, boring churches I've ever been to in my entire life. Sad. I know that some people may not like the clowns, but I need the clowns. I need the joy. I need the excitement. I need to know that God loves me. I want you to speak in a language of joy. And then I want you to speak in a language of peace. Peace between nations, so that we don't have to learn war anymore. So that we're not on the brink of another Holocaust. I want you to learn the language of peace between people, accepting differences without compromising your own life, and knowing that you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But maybe if we listen to each other, maybe we can figure out the answer. If we have peace enough to willing to listen. Even peace within ourselves, learning to love ourselves and accepting what is, not what we want it to be or what we wish it would be, but what is, and then building on that future. Peace within ourselves. If we can do that, if we can speak in these tongues along with the tongue of grace and forgiveness and tolerance and fellowship, then we're going to raise such a babble that the whole world is going to hear it. And they're going to come. And they're going to want to know this Jesus Christ that is the source of this babble. It can be dangerous to pray for something, to wish for something, to want something. But nevertheless, I'm going to wish that every single member of this church become a prophet and speak in all of these languages. Amen.